come from Judges chapter 16, verses 4 to 22. I'll give you a moment to find it in your Bible. You can read up here, or you can just close your eyes and listen to the story. It's a bit of a long one, but it's a good one as well, too. I'll be reading from the NIV. The word of the Lord says, "Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, 'See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength, and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver.' So Delilah said to Samson, 'Tell me the secret of your great strength, and how you can be tied up and subdued.' Samson answered her, 'If anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man.' Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you!' But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, 'You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied.' He said, 'If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man.' So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then with men hidden in the room, she called to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, 'Until now you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied.' He replied, 'If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man.' So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. Again she called to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, 'How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength.' With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. 'No razor has ever been used on my head,' he said, 'because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man.' When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, 'Come back once more. He has told me everything.' So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' He awoke from his sleep and thought, 'I'll go out as before and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again, after it had been shaved." The word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible that we get to hold and to read and to understand and to study from, Lord. Thank you for preserving it through all these years through your Holy Spirit so that we are able to learn from it and to have it. Lord, I pray for those that are facing persecution, Lord, whether here in Vancouver among our congregation or those that are abroad in hostile nations. May you be with them. Give them strength. Give them courage to continue to stand strong and stand firm in their faith, Lord. Lord, I also want to pray for the children's ministry. I pray that may all the volunteers live out your love, and may the kids learn and see you through their leaders as well, not just as teachers, but as those that love them as well. At this time, we also want to pray for the Cambodian short-term mission trip in October. Pray, Lord, for the planning committee. Pray, Lord, for those that have been called to go, Lord. May you give them all a willing heart, give them patience, and give them direction as they continue working out all the details on how they're going to get there and what they'll be doing. Also pray for the upcoming EM summer retreat, Lord. It's going to be an exciting one, Lord. I think we all feel it. I pray that you'll continue to be with the planning team as they tie up all the loose ends and as the rest of the congregation that will be going can get excited about what's to come. And finally, I want to pray for our EM pastor search committee and the search process, Lord. Lord, it may be a long one, so give us patience, Lord. Give us patience to wait for the appointed one that you have set for our church. May we not rush into it just trying to find someone to fill a spot, but we really do seek out the one that you have called for our church here. Pray everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as you listen to the story and to today's scripture reading, you might already realize this story is a pretty familiar one. A lot of us know it, whether maybe before we were Christians, or even our friends may know it as well. So maybe today you might see it with a fresh set of eyes, with a slightly different perspective as well. Today, the sermon comes from Fritz, and he'll be looking at how Samson, despite being physically strong, was spiritually and mentally weak. He will delve into the many times Samson broke his Nazarite vow and failed to rely on the guidance and strength from the Holy Spirit. Fritz.
Thanks, Rosie, for reading the scripture and that introduction to the sermon today. Well, how many of you had a chance to see the latest summertime blockbuster movies? They're coming out in droves, aren't they? And you know what? Here's a little secret of mine. I love watching movies, and getting a chance to see them in the theater is a treat, but I haven't actually got a chance to see them. But have you noticed the trend in blockbusters these days? In the last several years, they seem to come up with superhero movies. So whether it's The Avengers, Ant-Man, Thor, Hulk, Batman, Spider-Man, whatever, the public can't seem to get enough of superheroes, or maybe at least that's what Hollywood thinks. Well, I, for one, am sort of part of that demographic, that audience, and it stems back to when I was a child reading Marvel and DC comic books. I loved reading Batman, Superman, X-Men. And maybe some of you can relate. But aside from, the cool drawings and, the fantasy and action stories, there was and still is this constant underlying theme in most of these comic books. And that's the theme of salvation, the salvation narrative. In other words, these stories were about heroes saving the world. Now, it didn't matter if the hero was saving a damsel in distress or maybe a kitty trapped in a tree. This salvation theme has universal appeal. And this salvation theme is what the entire Bible is about. It's about God's plan to save mankind and the fallen world. Theologians would call this, now I'm just going to say this really slow and I'm going to get you to say it, okay? It's a German word. They would call this salvation history. Heilsgeschichte. Heilsgeschichte. I think I'm pronouncing that right. So you learned a little German today, and that means salvation history. It's a view that history sees the events that are recounted in the Bible as God's acts of salvation for the world. And today, we read from the Old Testament, the story in Judges, which is basically, the book of Judges is basically a mini salvations book. Judges is a book that tells the account of men and women of Israel who delivered their nation from the oppression of surrounding nations. Now, a judge isn't exactly what we picture today with, the long black robes, a wig, and the gavel. A judge is better described as one who is a deliverer a savior for Israel. In our scripture, we've taken a look at the life of Samson and how God providentially used this physically mighty yet flawed individual to accomplish his goals and bring salvation to his people. Now, I would argue that Samson was the first superhero. And so with each superhero, there is always an origins story. He doesn't get bitten by a radioactive bug, or he doesn't come to us by spacecraft from the planet Krypton. But his story is unique. There was a certain man of Zora named Manoah. Manoah was from the Danite clan. And he had a wife, and his wife was barren. And they were told that they would have a son, and he would be a Nazirite from the womb until the day of his death. And Samson's birth was a miracle, and it was foretold by the angel of the Lord. And despite Manoah's wife being barren, she gave birth to Samson. Now, what's a Nazirite vow? An explanation of this can be found in number 6. But basically, you see, Samson's purpose in life would be to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And because of this, he was dedicated to God for all his life. The Nazirite vow was one that was lifelong, or it could be for a short period. In this vow, there were 3 outward things that would show in an individual's inward commitment, and I'll list them for you. First, they must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from wine or fermented drink. They must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or even raisins. And as long as they remained under the Nazirite vow, they must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skin. Secondly, during this entire Nazirite vow period, whether it's 30 days or your whole life, you would have no razor be used on your head. They must be holy until the period of their dedication to the Lord is over, and they must let their hair grow long. And thirdly, in this Nazirite vow, throughout this period, the Nazirite must not go near a dead body. So very clear in Numbers. So don't confuse Nazirite with Nazarene. All right? Someone who is from the region of Nazareth, such as Jesus, would be called a Nazarene. While someone who commits to this Old Testament vow is called a Nazirite. Okay? Now, it's important to note that the angel of the Lord, when he spoke to Samson's parents, they never mentioned that Samson would be endowed with superhuman strength. Only that he will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And we see Samson's feats of strength all throughout Judges 13, 14, 15, 16. But there are only on occasions where he actually confronts the Philistines. This is when the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him with power. You know, I imagine Samson to have maybe a combination of certain pop culture figures today. I see him having the strength of the Hulk, maybe not so green, and maybe the body of a young Arnold Schwarzenegger, or perhaps, you know, the Dwayne Rock Johnson. You know, the Rock already portrayed Hercules, so, like, you know, probably could be a Samson. So although the Bible doesn't say Samson was muscular in appearance, you know, it's assumed that he had some meat on his bones to accomplish his feats of strength. And then I would also add that he would have this fiery rage and the battle skills of King Leonidas from that movie 300. I don't know if you guys have seen that. when he goes, "This is Sparta," right? And he kicks the guy into a pit. I could see Samson doing that. Now, why do I say that? Definitely, Samson had a temper. One point in the story of Samson says that 3,000 Israelites needed to escort him when he was being handed over to the Philistines. 3,000. If each man stretched out his arms and stood next to each other, the line would stretch for more than 3 miles. 3,000 men. Well, here are some feats of strength that are recorded in Scripture. First, Samson killed a lion with his bare hands. Judges 14:6 says this. He tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. Now, I don't know about you, but I can barely rip open a bag of potato chips, let alone a young goat. So can you imagine, you know, Samson in his normal strength without the Holy Spirit coming upon him could rip a young goat apart. That's amazing strength. So this guy was jacked, okay? His forearms were probably twice the size of Popeye's. You know who Popeye is, right? Some scholars say that Samson's high spinach diet contributed to his strength. I'm just joking there. I don't know if they had spinach. They probably had spinach there, but I'm just joking. Another strength or feat of Samson was he captured 300 foxes. Judges 15 tells of this event. And he tied their tails together, and basically he got 150 pairs of jackals. They're basically jackals, a combination of a coyote and a wolf. He torched their tails and he set them free to run through the Philistine grain fields. So the grain fields, vineyards, olive groves, all of that, all of those food supplies of the Philistines were decimated. Another account shows Samson killing 1,000 Philistine soldiers with a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Now, fresh meaning the donkey may not have been dead yet. So he might not even just picked up a skeleton. He might have gotten this half-dead donkey and just ripped him apart. Yeah. You know, the average jawbone size of an ancient donkey is approximately 9 inches. Okay? And then you think of it, an average kill time of maybe 1 minute, it would take 16 hours to kill 1,000 people. 16 hours. That's quite a bit of cardio there. You know, I saw a depiction of this particular scene when I watched the Bible miniseries. Basically, Samson breaks apart this donkey jawbone into two, and he sort of uses them like sickles, and he just goes crazy. By the way, don't bother watching this version because it's not very accurate. First of all, Samson is portrayed by a black character or a black actor, which I don't know why. Hello, Israelites are supposed to have dark, you know, tan skin and, you know, looking Middle Eastern. And then also this filmmaker's account is a condensed version, and it skips a lot of things from the biblical account. Anyway, Samson was so proud of this accomplishment that he even wrote this little song to pay tribute. And it goes like this. With a donkey's jawbone, I have donkey's other one. Something like that. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. And after his victory, he piled all the dead bodies into a heap. And then he called this place Ramath Lehi. You know what that means? Jawbone Hill. So Samson definitely had some crazy strength. Another account shows him carrying the gates of the city of Gaza. Now, he didn't just carry them for like 2 seconds. He brought them 38 miles away, to the hills of Hebron. Are you kidding me? 38 miles. That's more than a marathon. Let's put this into perspective and compare Samson's strength to today's strongmen. The world's strongest man competition this year was held in Malaysia back in April. And it was won by a 33-year-old named 33-year-old American named Brian Shaw, and it was actually his third title. This guy, he stands 6'8", so pretty tall. He was a basketball player when he was younger. And today he weighs 434 pounds. He can squat 800 pounds. He can bench press 525 pounds. He can deadlift 900 pounds. 85 pounds. That's almost 1,000 pounds. Now, if you ever get a chance to see it, you can YouTube it, and you'll see his astounding feats of strength, as well as some other strong men. They would practice. One of the events, I think, was basically they would hurl kegs, metal kegs, like higher than, well, maybe as high as the bar here. They would deadlift cars. They'd be strapped to cars and just basically deadlift cars. And you'd see them literally towing jet airplanes. They're just like pushing away like for, 10, 20 seconds, right? These are great feats. But can you imagine carrying the ancient city's gates, maybe several hundred pounds, for 38 miles? I think Samson's supernatural feats would win hands down. Had he competed in today's contest, Samson would have won no problem. But for all of Samson's feats of strength, we also see that Samson was a weak man. He was a weak-willed man that broke every one of his Nazirite vows. And that would eventually lead Samson to Samson's fall and demise. Mind you, it didn't happen all at once. Sin in one's life is like that. Samson's fall was a gradual one. First, he touched a dead body, the lion's carcass. He not only touched it, but he also scooped honey out of it. And he gave some to his parents, and he didn't even tell his parents that he did this. I mean, obviously, being this physical specimen who was like a soldier and a battle person, he killed 1,000 people, right? And he would have had to have touched dead people then as well. Second, he had wine. Now, some say Samson was likely drunk at his wedding feast. And that's the wedding feast when he gave his famous riddle about the lion and the honey. And thirdly, Samson had a weakness for women, specifically Philistine women. His lust for women got the best of him. Now, we have to remember, God commanded his people never to mingle or intermarry with the people of the surrounding nations. This was a union expressly forbidden by God in Deuteronomy 7. Yet, Samson chose to love Philistine women just because he liked their appearance and that he thought they were right for him. His first wife was a Philistine woman at Timnah. And he got into trouble with that and confronted Philistines there. You can read the account if you have time in Judges 14. Then he also had an affair with a Philistine prostitute in Gaza. And that got him into trouble as well, where he basically lifted those gates up and carried them to 38 miles away. And finally, our story that we read today, He fell in love with Delilah. Delilah, this sultry Philistine woman who tricked and nagged Samson's secret out of him. You know, she got paid handsomely. It's approximately 5,500 shekels of silver. Now, scholars say in those days, an average wages, year's wages, is about 10 shekels of silver. That's for 1 year. Delilah received 550 times that in order to find out the secret of Samson's strength. So the Philistines were serious about trying to break Samson. And so when Samson did finally tell the secret of his strength, it was too late. He had gained confidence from his previous Nazirite violations, which appeared to have gone unpunished. But his continual willful disobedience had reached an end. The sad thing about this part of the story is that Samson did not know that the Lord had left him, had already left him. The source of his strength was not really his physical hair, but the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And after reading today's passage, I also want to add this. Samson, I think he became pretty stupid once in the arms of a woman. I mean, come on, Samson. After you tell Delilah three times about your secret, and then the chick goes and tries these things on you, not exactly the sharpest knife in the kitchen. And personally, I believe it was all because of love. And I think sometimes this happens to guys when they fall in love with a woman, right? Can I get an amen? So women, be careful how you use your influence over men. You have a lot of power. My wife has a lot of power. And with great power comes great responsibility. That's a superhero quote, isn't it? And Samson had dug himself a hole so deep that even he couldn't save himself. His people, Israel, couldn't save him. His parents could not save him. The people he loved couldn't save him. I mean, Delilah betrayed him for a sack of silver. Have you ever dug a hole so deep that it seemed that no one could save you? Now, as you look back on your life, on those times, who was there to bail you out and give you like support? Your parents, your brother, sister, you know, your best friends. Maybe you're in a situation right now where you're just trying to keep your head above water. You're gasping for air and slowly drowning. You're in desperate need of someone to basically rescue you. I sense that some of you here need that help. And I want to remind you that the Bible has the answer for you. I just want to call up Psalm 121, and maybe we can all read this together if we can have this displayed. It's called a Song of Ascents, and the psalmist writes this. Let's all read together, okay, out loud. Verse 1. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. And don't forget God your Father, as Samson did when he dug himself this deep hole. You know, if we step back from the story of Samson and take a look at it in light of the entire scripture, we actually see that this is a foreshadowing of what a true deliverer does. Samson was a prototype savior. Now, how do we know this? Well, he was a savior of Israel. He gets betrayed for silver by the one who was close to him with a kiss. He gets arrested. He's mocked. And then he gains a victory greater through his voluntary death than he did in his life. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it, right? Samson's name means sun child or bright sun. And we know that Jesus is the Son of God, the light of the world. Now, Samson was such a wasted potential. He was given all this power, but eventually became the laughingstock of Israel, mocked and humiliated by the Philistines. They blinded him by basically gouging out his eyes. So, you know, when they do this process, according to scholars, they would burn your eye sockets first, and then they would gouge your eyes out. They shackled him and they threw him in prison, and he basically was bound to this grain mill, sent to basically walk around in a circle grinding grain for who knows how long. But scripture says his hair grew back, and that's a little glimmer of hope. And during that time in captivity, it must have been given him time to really think. I mean, you're sitting there pushing this, running this grain mill. You have a lot of time to think. Time to think, time to realize who his true source of strength was. He remembered who he was created to be and that lifelong Nazirite vow he was supposed to follow. And in his one last act, in the end of this story, if you read further, he killed more Philistines than during his lifetime. He killed 3,000 by basically pushing the pillars and allowing the temple to collapse upon the Philistines. You know, Samson had repented and turned to God for his redemption. So even though Samson was flawed, God was still able to use him for his glory and for delivering his people. Now, in contrast to Samson, we find that Jesus is the perfect Savior and Deliverer. He submitted to the Father's will even unto death, and he kept his vow, his life mission, to save the world from sin. God uses flawed, sinful people like you and me to ultimately accomplish his goals and still bring glory to himself. You know, specifically with Samson in our story today, he took the strong and he made him humble. Earlier in Judges, we find that God used the weak, a person named Gideon, and he made him strong. Where do we really draw our strength from? Do we draw it from God? Or do we draw it from other means? Maybe self-accomplishments, from money, from family, from friends. Who do we attribute our successes in life to? Are we self-made people or are we God-made people? Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that your talents, your skills, your strengths all come from God. And Samson acknowledged this early in his rule as a judge. But things got in the way that made him forget what he was put on this earth to do. Things like anger, things like pride, Things like pleasure. Things like his lustful eyes. Indeed, just like the theme of the entire book of Judges says this, and I quote, "The people of Israel did what was right in their eyes." So did Samson. He did what was right in his own eyes. And this led to his tragic downfall. Sin clouded his vision, his focus, and his relationship with God. He became more and more spiritually blind and ended up actually being physically blind as well. He could have done so much more had he committed to his Nazarite vow. Remember where our strength comes from, brothers and sisters. Remember where our strength comes from. And not only remember where our strength comes from, remember where our helps come from. Remember that Psalm 121, when you're down and out in your pit. There's never a hole too deep that God cannot rescue us from. We may fail and fail and fail again, but God's love is immensely larger than that. His grace and mercy are endless through his Son, Jesus. And so as I bring our sermon to a close, let us remember what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago as we partake in the Lord's Supper together. Can I ask the communion ushers to come forward?